Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season, when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
From London, this is The Standard Podcast, and I'm Mark Blunden. In this special episode, you'll hear an Evening Standard roundtable discussion focusing on the issues in the 2024 race for City Hall. Three cabbies debate the candidates and policies impacting the black cab trade with your host, Evening Standard City Hall editor and transport editor, Ross Lydell. You can watch an extended version of this roundtable video discussion at standard.co.uk.
We have to think differently. It's about London, not about the whole country.
You know, Sabine Fran is there for the taking. And if she's got the right team, with the right policy, with the right campaign, she may have a chance.
For over 300 years, we've served the public. We're the envy of the world. We've been restricted. As a consequence, the public are paying for it.
They know London like the back of their hand and have been scientifically proven to have bigger brains than the rest of us. So who better to ask about the mayoral race than London's cabbies? We've invited three black taxi drivers to the Evening Standard to find out what they think about the battle for City Hall and who they think deserves to be our next mayor. I'm just asked first the names and also who's the most famous person, if anybody, you've had in the black of your cab.
My name's Howard. Probably Dustin Hoffman or Charlton Heston.
Oh, good start.
Hi, I'm Suzanne, and I've had four of the five Spice Girls.
Hi there, I'm Mr. Mohammed. I had few footballers in my cap. One of them was Frank Lampard and Peter Crouch.
Now, let's talk first about London's own, if you like, political celebrity, Sadiq Khan. He's been mayor for 8 years. How would you say he's performed?
I have voted for Sadiq Khan for the last two terms, thinking that he was the right guy for the job. But since then, as a cab driver, I'm very disappointed with him, and I don't think this time around he will get my vote, in my view, simply because of the pressure that he put on us as a cab drivers, the lack of access of the roads, you know, the 20-mile speed, the cycle lines everywhere, and the expansion on Ulis and all that, even though we exempt on that. But the thing is, so I do believe that it's time for change, and change is always good in my view.
Suzanne, will you be voting for Sadiq?
No, definitely not. Purely for the same reasons that Mohammed said. You know, 8 years, he's had plenty of time to make a difference. And as far as the cab trade is concerned, he hasn't made a difference at all. And I just think to have someone else, a change is always as good as a rest. So I definitely won't be voting for Sadiq.
Howard, what would you say?
Wouldn't vote for him. He has had plenty of time and he has made a change to the cab trade, but only to the worse. I don't think he's done us any favours at all. As the other guy said, with the cycle lanes, with the 20 mile an hour, with the access to taxis that have been restricted across the City of London and generally across London, it's pushed us further back. And I think definitely a change would be ideal.
Now, according to the polls, Sadiq Khan's biggest challenger is Susan Hall, the Tory mayoral candidate. What do you know about Susan?
I've listened to some of her manifesto and listened to her speak. She's let herself down on a couple of occasions by not being as well informed as someone should be in her position. But we all make mistakes. And as the guy said, both of them said, change is as good as a rest. Let's get somebody else in with fresh ideas that maybe has got a better take on London than Sadiq's had.
Okay, would you vote for Susan?
Definitely. Purely because I think she's the strongest out of all the other candidates. And as I say, I just need someone new. I need someone else to give a go. And hopefully she's the person to do it.
Susan is the Conservative candidate. There is the issue that the Tories nationally are unpopular. Would that put you off voting for a Tory mayor of London?
No, we have to think differently. It's about London, not about the whole country. I just don't feel there's anyone strong enough to take over what Sadiq has left. I mean, I don't know much about Susan Hall, but I just hope that she is the person to, you know, help the trade
Mohammed, would Susan Hall, has she come across to you as a potential mayor? Does she strike you as somebody with the capacity to run London?
I believe so. I have the privilege of meeting her at the trade office, our office. So she came to us actually on a broad chance and told us what she's going to do in her first day in office. And what she said on that particular day was actually very good. I mean, she said she's going to get rid of the 20-mile limit for the major routes. She's going to get rid of the cycle lane and the park lane. And those things are within her power.
Now let's talk first about the black cab trade. It's been a tough time since the pandemic for cabbies. TfL figures show that the number of licensed black cab drivers has gone down to about 17,500. That's about 21% down. What's it like out on the roads? What's it like working as a cabbie in 2024?
It's not easy. It's usually just the traffic that causes us most of the problems. But the 20 mile an hour is, you know, extremely difficult to work around. It's fine on some of the smaller roads, but on the main roads, it's impossible to get anywhere, you know, fast. So the traffic is the biggest concern, and the road closures, and also the access, like Bishopsgate. We can't use Bishopsgate. It's an important road. I don't know why Sadiq Khan doesn't allow us to use it. We're part of the public network. If that was to change, it would help our jobs immensely.
So this is all around Liverpool Street Station,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. If you wanted to go, say, from London Bridge up to the city, you can't go all the way up. You've got to, you know, do a detour. And it's only open for buses. But as I say, we are part of the public network. And why he won't include us, you know, is beyond me.
Susan Hall says, or her policy is, that where buses go, then black cabs can go. Do you like the sound of that?
Absolutely, absolutely. For over 300 years, we've served the public with, I say so myself, a gold standard of service. And people love that. We're the envy of the world. They know they can get in and talk about a museum or a restaurant or a club. The driver will take them straight there with no problem if they're allowed to take them there. So we're being restricted. As a consequence, the public are paying for it because we have to go around the world to get to where they live and do a more circuitous route. So they're being punished. And taxis, as I say, we don't stop anywhere. We drop people off, we move off and go somewhere else. We're a very efficient form of transport. And we've made great... If we can get there and made great inroads in terms of updating the fleet to get electric vehicles. So more and more taxis are electric. Even the older, dirtier ones have been phased out. So generally you'll only have Euro 6 emission vehicles plus electric vehicles. So we've invested all of that. All our expenses have gone up. And so for a young person looking to become a cab driver, like we did when we were younger, they look at it and think, well, these are your expenses to rent a cab or buy a cab are very, very high. The earnings pro rata have gone down. It doesn't look such an attractive proposition as it did do.
Let's go to the ads. Coming up, this special edition of the Standard podcast continues, including discussion of low traffic neighbourhoods, cycle lanes, and could ULEZ swing the vote? Why not hit follow? In the meantime, give us a rating.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season, when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Now, we've got the mayoral elections coming up on May the 2nd, so not long to go. There are 13 candidates standing, but can anybody name anybody apart from Sadiq or Susan? Do you know any of the others?
No.
Not really. What's that green,
green
party?
There's
a lady green.
So that is Zoe Garbutt, who is the green candidate.
Yes. Oh, yes. And there's the Liberal Democrat.
Actually, he was quite good, actually.
Blackie?
That's right, Rob Blackie.
Yeah. I like the green party.
There
was
four people on the evening news last week.
That's right.
News.
The ITV London did a live debate.
Yes.
This year, the Tory government has changed the rules. So it's going to be first past the post, the sort of traditional system where it's like one vote per voter, rather than previously under all the other mayoral elections, everybody got two votes. So you could have a first preference and second preference. Does that seem fairer to you or less fair?
Whichever system you use, whether it's first past the post and or it's a second ballot or it's proportional representation, someone won't be happy with it. And it's the least worst option, maybe, just to get a definitive answer straight away rather than first or second vote, because you either want the second person you vote for is, but I can't have that, I'll have the best loser. So the one vote thing is a great idea, personally.
Let's talk about some of the issues that affect taxi drivers. Not all of these are the direct responsibility of the mayor, but the mayor has had some involvement. So first off, LTNs, low traffic neighbourhoods. Are you a fan, Mohammed?
No, not at all. I know West London boroughs, Hammersmith and Fulham, I think they're allowing the taxis to go through that, but I'm not a big fan because it will make our job very difficult to get to where we wanted to. So I'm not a big fan of it. Mm. And I would like the other boroughs to follow the likes of the Hammersmith and Fulham, who are allowing the taxis. I'm not too sure about the private hire either, but we can go through that.
Suzanne?
Well, no, I'm not a fan of them at all. The same thing as what Mohammed said. Islington's a really bad borough for LTNs. But during the pandemic, I worked for Waitrose as a delivery driver because there wasn't any work for the cabbies. And when I spoke to the residents, they weren't a fan of the LTNs because we couldn't get the shop into them. Same with the cab. We can't get elderly people, disabled people. Even like at night, I don't really work nights anymore, but I have done in the past. And you've got a young girl who's drunk, and what, she just can't find a way home, and it's my job to make sure she gets home safely to her front door. We can't do that with LTNs. Okay. We've got to leave her at the end of the street, you know, and that's not right either.
Is there one particular London borough that you find is the biggest headache in terms of LTNs when you get a fare and they say, take me to Hackney or take me to Hammersmith or, you know, take me to Lewisham? You're going, oh, please not.
Islington and Hackney are, I wouldn't say the nightmare, they're very, very difficult and they pose big problems. And it's not fair, disregard the taxi drivers. If you live in London, you have to expect traffic. You have to expect vehicles. You're not living in a utopian village with no vehicles. So to have your food delivered, to have your furniture delivered, to be able to get home with shopping or get home with a baby in a buggy or when you've had a drink, the point of getting in a taxi is you get door-to-door service. We can't offer that door-to-door service under LTNs. Mm-hmm. And it's a terrible word to use, but it's not fair on those people. They've been lumbered. They lived in those houses before they became LTNs, and now they're stuck in it.
Now, are cycle lanes, how do you regard them, an inconvenience? Do you feel that they have a place, or do they just essentially stop vehicles getting round?
They have a place because we're trying to be greener, we're trying to get people exercising more. They have a place, but to put them in place of other modes of transport and having that big an impact. Talk about the Park Lane cycle lanes, for example, which is the most obvious glaring double take. You're right next to Hyde Park, which has a cycle lane in it. Going northbound on Park Lane, there is a cycle lane inside Hyde Park, just the other side of the railings. In their infinite wisdom, the authorities, whoever they were and whoever was the Mandarin who decided it, well, I will put one in Park Lane as well. So it used to be four lanes going north. And now I've got a very rarely used cycle lane, a bus lane, which I agree with, and then you've now got the traffic is constant from 6 a.m. to 8 or 9 p.m. Hyde Park Corner, trying to get up Park Lane towards Marble Arch, is at a standstill. So there was no thought of other vehicles.
I mean, if you were to sit on Park Lane, even in the evening when the park closes, you don't see many cyclists going up and down Park Lane. So, it, you know, probably 5% of it is used, where the rest of the time we're all sat in traffic, waiting to get from literally one end to the other, and it taking double the time. I mean, another really good example is the embankment. Now, that happened maybe 8 years ago. I can't remember.
That was one of the last things that Boris did. That was Boris's very last day when he opened the embankment cycle superhighway. Was that not a good day for you, Mohammed?
No. I mean, look, I work at the airport a lot of the time, and you know how many times I've seen drivers turning down jobs to go to Canary Wharf. I mean, it's not, you know, an easy to travel from the airport during the day I'm talking about. So the embankment and the park lane, look, I don't think we have an issue with the cycles. We're not, like Howard says, we wanted the green things, but we want things to be in perspective.
Let's talk about one of Sadiq's other big policies. He's probably best known for the ULEZ,
That expanded London-wide last August. So the whole city is now under the ULEZ. Black cabs aren't necessarily caught by the ULEZ, are they? Because you've got your own emission rules. But what impact has the ULEZ made, if anything, would you say, to levels of traffic on the road in terms of congestion?
Look, the ULEZ expression, yes, we exempt you into it, but people are fed up with it. They don't like it. They don't want it. Mm-hmm. And with the problem with Sadiq Khan is that is what he wants. You know, his policy of, like, you know, two wheels is better than four wheels. That's all his idea. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with another 4 years with that, we may as well all stop driving and just walk around and get the bicycles.
Do you think the ULEZ expansion could lose Sadiq this election?
I believe so.
We know there's been more than 1,000 cases of vandalism of ULEZ cameras. The police won't tell us exactly how many, and TfL don't want to say how much they've spent putting them back up again. Susan Hall's main policy is to get rid of the ULEZ in outer London, the most recent expansion in the sort of donut, if you like. Would that make you and your friends or family more likely to vote for Susan than Sadiq?
I'm not sure quite about that, because where he's extended it, some people can't even vote because they don't live in London.
There's much more news and features in the Evening Standard newspaper and online at standard.co.uk. We're back on Monday at 4 p.m.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season, when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers, and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.